50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey, then I take a nap. Thanks.
You're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Wes Vilhard, our home inspection expert from Housemaster. Welcome back, Wes.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Tammy. Glad to be here.
So if you'd like to reach Wes, I'm going to put all your information on our website at DougHaldeman.com, at DougHaldeman.com, and we'll make sure not only have your contact information, but also some downloads that we're going to have with pictures that we talked about earlier, and then also what we're going to talk about now is going to be the steps to winterize your home, because we just saw some of the consequences from a vacant house for 5 years. There are people out there that have a vacant house right now, either a rental property that's gone vacant. Sometimes they bought a new house before they've sold their old one, and it's still sitting there vacant. What are some of the steps people need to do to make sure that their house is safe?
Sure. Well, this is a really obvious one, but maybe somebody's moved out of the house in the summertime, September, October. It's still warm. You still have your air conditioner on. Make sure somebody, your real estate agent, a neighbor, somebody goes over and flips that switch from cooling to heating, and at least have the heat on the house at about 60 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
That way your pipes won't freeze, and there's not big temperature contrast inside the house. Drywall likes to stay about 70 degrees, 50% humidity. Big swings in humidity and temperature cause drywall to crack, and it can cost you a lot of money
in
repairs.
What about plaster, if you have plaster walls?
Plaster walls, too, yeah.
You know, that actually, you mentioned the neighbors there. I would think it's important to have, if you have a good relationship with a neighbor, maybe even leave a key with one of the neighbors if there's somebody you can trust, and make sure all your neighbors have your phone number if you've moved out.
Absolutely.
So if there's some sort of issue with the property, they know how to get a hold of you. That's pretty important.
You bet. And it's a real good idea to have somebody, a neighbor, a friend, family, your real estate agent, to go by your vacant house every couple of weeks. Simple things like a small drip underneath a kitchen cabinet over time can cause great damage to floors and cabinets and even ceilings below if you've got a finished basement. It can be thousands of dollars of damage just from a small plumbing leak.
Absolutely. And I can see, even if you don't turn off the water with the water department, at least turn off the water main,
right,
so that you can start to winterize a house. What are the things you need to do to winterize a home when it comes to the plumbing?
Sure, a couple of steps. The first one that comes to mind immediately is make sure that all the exterior garden hoses are removed from the hose bibs. Even though they advertise, quote, frost-proof hose bibs, if you have a garden hose attached to that hose bib on the outside of your house, it will freeze when it gets into the zeros or the teens. And I've seen it, and I've learned the hard way. I did it myself when I bought my first new house.
Well, and even worse than just the hose being on there is when you have the spout on the end, the spray nozzle,
yep,
where then the water doesn't have anywhere to go.
Exactly. Yep. I've seen it happen many times. And some other obvious things to winterize a house. You want to turn your water off at least down in the basement, usually at the main shutoff valve. But then you want to open the lowest valve in the house. Usually there's a hose bib again down in the basement just for cleaning purposes or whatever. Open that, and then you want to go open the highest shower head in your house. That lets the air flow in and lets all that water drain out to your lowest spigot, your lowest hose bib in the basement.
And do you leave them open?
I would leave them open. I sure would. And then some people flush all the toilets and things, but the professional companies that come in and winterize homes, I actually see them come in and put antifreeze in the toilet bowl and in the tanks and just leave that water in there. It keeps sewer gas and things from coming into the house.
How would you advise
someone that has a crawl space?
Crawl spaces are tricky because a lot of times they're not insulated correctly.
Right.
Get underneath your crawl space. It's not a pretty thing to do sometimes. But if you see little eyes peering at you through the darkness, don't go in the crawl space. That's pretty much my rule. But get underneath the crawl space and make sure that the bottom, the floors of your house are properly insulated. You need about 8 to 12 inches of good bat insulation stapled to the floor to protect that floor from the frigid weather that's coming our way. And then you always want airflow into a crawl space. So you don't want to close up the vents or anything. You don't want to cover those up. You want
the
that airflow.
The outside vents.
That's right. You want to keep that moisture being taken away by that outside airflow out of the space. If you have plumbing pipes, especially water lines and sewer lines, you may want to put something called heat trace or heat tape on those plumbing lines down in the crawl space. They can be thermostatically controlled. If you're a handy person, you can do that yourself. If you've got an outlet down in your crawl space, or you can have an electrician come out, and in a few hours he can put on heat tape on all your plumbing lines and sewer lines and things in your crawl space.
So heat tape, that's not is that where there's actually a current running through it or something to keep it warm?
It is. It's a heat tape with it's plugged into an outlet or maybe hardwired into a circuit. And then a thermostat reads how cold that crawl space is, and maybe it's set to come on at 35 degrees or something like that.
Right, something to keep it a little bit above freezing.
Freezing. Exactly.
And you also see sometimes on the exterior wall pipes that have been wrapped, but is that mainly on the exterior walls?
You know, where I see the problems come in on pipes on exterior walls is concrete basement walls. If you have a walkout basement, most of that concrete wall is exposed. So that concrete wall over time is going to be the same temperature as the outside air, especially if you've got your heat set really low in the basement. So it's those pipes on that outside concrete wall, especially exposed above grade, that you'd want to insulate or even put a heat tape on. And then a couple other tricks with basements. A lot of times folks will close the damper in the basement in the summertime. Make sure you open that damper so that at least have one or two registers putting some heat down in that basement. Keep that basement 55 or 60 degrees, too.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And what about gutters?
Gutters, good idea to keep those cleaned all the time. We're toward the end of fall here. A lot of gutters are just piled full of leaves. I see it on my inspections all the time. That causes the water to back up over the top of the gutter, and it rolls back behind your gutter boards, which a lot of times aren't well painted. They're not well caulked because they're hidden. Causes that gutter board to deteriorate, and you can actually get water coming down the inside of your drywall walls inside your house. It causes a lot of damage just because of leaves in the gutters.
Okay, so I'm going to tell a story that is the consequence of not winterizing your home. Okay, and I've told the story before, but it's been a while, so I have to go back to this because this is something that it definitely made an impression on me. So I had a house in Breckenridge Hills, nice two-story home. I was totally finished rehabbing the thing and didn't winterize it, had too many properties going at once, and that one, you know, I hadn't been there in several weeks. Well, this is back, I think it was in 2000 when we had a massive snow where we had almost a foot and a half of snow on the ground. Sure. For almost a month straight, the snow stayed there. So when I finally went to visit this property, apparently when the pipes burst, they filled up the basement, started running out the walkout door.
Yep.
The whole backyard, the snow was melted from the snow running out the back door.
Wow.
But the basement is like 5.5 feet deep with water.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm trying to think about it. Okay, how am I going to turn this off? Because the shutoff valve is all the way in the opposite end of the basement. So I got a shovel and I dug in that front yard for 3 hours in over foot deep snow trying to find the stop box.
Oh my God.
Well, stop box was below grade, and after 3 hours I give up, and I finally called some plumbers thinking they may have some magic solution.
Sure.
So these guys came out and, you know, they're like, nope, sorry, no magic solution here. Somebody's gonna have to swim for it.
Oh,
so
great.
You know, to get them to swim for it, they were gonna charge an arm and a leg. So I had to do it myself, stripped down totally naked, because when I come out I don't want to, you know, I have to have some clothes to put back on.
Sure. Ice cold water in the basement.
Oh, yeah. 30, it's probably 20 degrees outside. You know, the water is basically, it's not frozen solid or anything.
50 degrees, yeah.
Oh, no. That water was 32 degrees.
Oh,
I guarantee that water was 32 degrees because there was no heat in the house at all.
Sure.
Furnace wasn't going, so I had to swim for it. Got the water turned off. Then we had to get a sump pump in there. But when I came out of that water, it wasn't pretty.
That's a new kind of polar bear plunge there, isn't it?
The involuntary. So my lesson there is, you know, download our Winterize Your Home checklist that Wes has provided to us. Go to our website at DougHaldeman.com, DougHaldeman.com. Look for Wes Vilhard from Housemaster. Download his list and make sure that you're protected today. So, Wes, anything else to add to that?
Just a couple quick tips. I would say if you have an older home that has a ceiling fan, insulate the top of that ceiling fan. That's usually about a 3-foot by 3-foot opening. It's just like having a window open to your attic. Your attic is open to the outside.
The attic fans.
Yeah, so you've got basically a window open to your freezing cold attic all winter. You're going to spend a lot of money trying to heat that attic. So put a box, an insulated box, over the top of that ceiling fan.
I love it. We'll make sure that's on our winterizing your home checklist. So just visit DougHaldeman.com and download the list today. And if you need a home inspection, call Wes Vilhard from Housemaster and get his 30 years of structural engineering experience on your side to make sure you're protected. Thanks again for coming in, Wes.
Hey, thanks, Doug.
So just a reminder for you, you won't want to miss the Doug Haldeman Show next Sunday at 4 p.m. as we interview some of the top experts in St. Louis to raise your level of fiscal literacy and improve your real estate knowledge. Becoming a financial juggernaut is as easy as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., modeling advice to the experts, and implementing your personal plan. And also a reminder to you that we're looking for an expert contributor to our show that's a bankruptcy attorney. So if you know a bankruptcy attorney that you think would be a good expert contributor for us to interview on the air, shoot me a text with their contact information at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG. Shoot me a text with at least their name, and I can get their contact information. But if you have all their information, that'd be even better. See you next Sunday.
50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey doom and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey, then I take a nap.